We continue our series, David Rockstar, and this morning we're looking at David, King, Just, and Right. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15. It's a short verse, but I think a very important verse. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. David reigned over all Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and our minds this morning. Well, we have been in the summer series looking at David as a rock star, and this morning we're looking at David as a king. Heard this story about this kindergartner, and kids are great back in school. I heard a story about this kindergartner, and little Johnny went to kindergarten, and they were doing numbers, right? And so the kindergarten teacher singled out little Johnny and asked him if he knew his numbers. He said, oh, yes, my dad taught me numbers. She said, great. She said, what comes after three? He said, four. And she said, what comes after six? And he said, seven. And she said, gosh, your dad really did a good job teaching you numbers. She said, what comes after 10? He said, Jack, Queen, King. You can laugh. It's okay. Oh, wow. So anyway, speaking of king, we're looking at David as king today and focusing on, I think, this important verse, even though it doesn't occupy a huge part. But it also is, the exact words are also reflected in Chronicles as well, which also sort of gives this parallel account from the Southern Kingdom perspective. And we've been looking at David as a rock star. We looked at David as a person called. We looked at David as a giant slayer. Talked about faith to face giants. And we looked at David as a friend, person of with a warrior spirit, and now as a king. And I think it's important to pause for a moment and think about that. Now, just to set the backstory here for a moment, Saul has now passed away by his own doing. David did not take Saul's life, even though he had at least two chances to take Saul's life. He respected God's providence and knew that it wasn't his time or his place. And so Saul has passed away of his own doing, basically. And then David consolidated the southern kingdom, and then later David consolidated the northern kingdom, and now Israel is in one kingdom, and David is ruling this. And in this moment right here, it says David reigned over his people and was just and right for all his people. And I think that is a beautiful moment. Even though David wasn't perfect, in this moment it focuses on something very, very important, because there are parts of the Davidic kingdom that reflect onto Jesus as the anointed one, and also God's coming kingdom, even as God's kingdom breaks forth into our hearts and lives in the here and now. And so the first thing I want to think about for a moment is David did what was right. Right, and so you can translate that a number of different ways. Righteousness, which is a fancy theological term for right relationships. And I wonder, in our own lives, do we think about doing the right thing? Do we emphasize that enough? I think we all do at some point. But doing the right thing and encouraging others to do the right thing, David did the right thing, means that he wasn't swayed in that moment in time by political forces, by financial forces, that he was doing the right thing. And as Tamara was talking about the cross that is up here, it's important for all our lives. I think there's always something that's really important about the cross. As we think about the vertical part, which is our relationship to God, we also think about our horizontal level, which is our relationship to each other. And our vertical relationship with God should always impact our horizontal relationship with others. So that when we're right with God, we want to have right relationships with other people. Doesn't mean we'll ever make a mistake, by the way. But what it does mean is we try to do the right thing and live out the right thing in our lives. And so David was concerned about that, and he had a kingdom that was concerned about that. And when you think about the two, I think, pivotal laws, if you will, or pivotal principles or commands from Jesus, the first is the great command, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The vertical, and then the horizontal, and then, of course, the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It always impacts the horizontal level of our life when we have our heart right with God. And so I challenge us to think not just about David in this moment in time where the light shines bright on the kingdom And people look back to that all the time, as David is a great hero of the Jewish people and also of the Christian faith. And so David did what was right. And ask yourself, how are you at doing what is right? And I think as we encourage our young people to go to school, we always talk about doing the right thing and how that's not always an easy thing to do, but to do the right kind of thing. And I think when we do that, there's a sense in which we bring a little bit of heaven to earth, and I think that's important. Harriet Tubman, the great abolitionist, tells the story. Of course, she escaped from slavery and then was instrumental in the Underground Railroad, and then also became a great author, great influential person in our nation's history and really in world history. She tells about a moment in time where she was on the Underground Railroad, and she was with this group of people that were escaping slavery from the South, and they were being pursued by a number of people who were trying to take them back or to take their lives. And as they were lying there, they were really in a swamp and sinking in the mud. And what a discouraging moment it was. They were exhausted. Of course, they couldn't drink any of the swamp water, and they had to just lie there very still. And she said there was a moment when this white country person was there, this man, and he saw them lying there. And she was so scared that he would report them to the people that were pursuing them. And instead, he caught their eye, and he held up a key, and he pointed to a barn. And then he laid the key down. And later, when night fell, they went and they found that key, and then they opened the barn door with unlocked it, and there in there was a note from this gentleman that said, I can't do everything now, but here is some water to refresh you on your journey and a safe place for the night. And she said, what a difference that made in her life. Now, he didn't create a revolution in that moment, but he did the right thing in giving them just water, just what they needed, and a safe place to just harbor for a moment and to refresh themselves for the journey. Sometimes you and I can just give a glass of water. Sometimes we can just stand up for what is right. What is it around you, perhaps, that this week God might make you a candle in the night? God might invite you into making a difference in your world. William Wilberforce was a Quaker in the United Kingdom, in England, and long before slavery was outlawed in the United Kingdom, William Wilberforce made it his duty to go and to have dinner with every Quaker he knew or someone told him about who owned slaves. And over dinner, after they had finished dinner, he would look at the person across the table and say, as a Christian, how does it feel to own another person? And they began a conversation. And one by one, all those Quaker families released the slaves of their own accord because they thought it was the right thing to do. And it was just a dinner. Just a dinner, but more than a dinner, because he stood for what was right. There's lots of different ways to stand for what is right. I'm not saying there's one way, but sometimes it's just a conversation, right? It's just asking someone, what do you think about this? But first, he built a relationship over dinner. What is it that you can do, whether it's a glass of water or whether it's a conversation that might be about standing for what is right for you, our community, our country, and even our world? And so that invites us into the second thing, which is what is right and what is just. Now, when I think of, they overlap tremendously, obviously, but when I think of what is right, sometimes I think more on the singular, smaller level. When we think about justice, we think about a broader scope of doing what is right. And so justice is important here, and that's exactly what this word means, justice. David did what was just and right for all the people, not for some of the people. David did what was just and right for all the people. And there's a beautiful passage in Psalms. There's a number of them, but there's one that I love in Psalm 85:10 that says this, steadfast love and faithfulness or justice and righteousness will kiss each other. Isn't that beautiful? Justice and peace will kiss each other. It's this image, not just of the moment, the ideal world in this world, but also in the world to come. But sometimes you and I as Christians, we just get focused on the next world, right? And we forget that God has called us to be salt and light in this world where we are now, not just in the by and by, but in the here and now, we are to be salt and light. And I think that's so very, very important. And Micah says this, and you probably heard it before, but it is a great verse. In Micah 6:8, he has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Over the last year, we've seen some moments in our history of our country and our communities that were heart-wrenching. We saw George Floyd lose his life. We saw Ahmaud Arbery. We saw Breonna Taylor and other people that lost their lives tragically and unnecessarily. And it's easy to point fingers at other people, but I think we also have to look at ourselves and say, how in some way did I contribute to that happening, or what is I doing in my world, and am I standing up for what is right and true and just? Now, there's lots of ways to do that, and we may well disagree on that, but I think as God's people, we all need to be people who care about what is right and what is just for all people. And I think our Constitution holds light, even though we've had imperfect moments in our past. We had enough vision there to look and think about freedom and justice for all people, freedom and justice for everyone. And God's word holds it up in this moment, in this light moment in David's kingdom, a light that became a light to our founding fathers and mothers as they thought about the ultimate principles that should guide us. So how are we doing that? There's a beautiful moment in history that's also captured on film. I don't know if you've seen the film Amistad, but it's a great film about a true story about the ship by the name of Amistad, and it is the story of slaves that were sold into slavery in Cuba in 1839. This is well before the Civil War, mind you, in 1839, and en route, and the ship was under the flag of Spain, and en route, the ship was overthrown, and their leader, a man by the name of Sinque, tried to guide. He was a better leader than he was a sailor. They ended up in New England and the Boston area, and they were trying to go to Africa. But as the ship came in there and they needed supplies, then the United States government sort of took control of that, and they put them in prison, sort of for time being, to help them. And wanted to figure out what to do. It was an international incident because Spain, flag, Cuba was involved in the sale. And here they were, and they were asking for freedom. And the question was, could they declare that? And in the midst of all this, former President John Quincy Adams, who was a retired president at that time, decided that he was going to take the case and pleaded before the Supreme Court. Now, that was unprecedented. I don't know that it's ever happened again, that a former president would become the attorney, because he was an attorney, and to take on the case. And he was torn by that. So he sat and he talked with Sinque, thinking about this and the implications of that, and what our Constitution would say about that, and what the Supreme Court would say about that, and what it meant for a president of the United States to step in and say, I'm gonna stand in this moment for what is, I think, is just. And in a beautiful moment, I hope you see the movie. It's great. It's been out for a while. Anthony Hopkins plays former President John Quincy Adams. But they're talking about what the next day will bring. And Sinque, who's the leader, says, well, I have confidence in what's going to happen. And President Adams says, well, I'm not sure I do. what is that? He says, well, we always rely on our ancestors to shine light, and they know that they're there for us. And John Quincy Adams thinks about doom, and he says, well, we have ancestors, too, in our Constitution that shone a light, too. And so I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. And so he pleads the court before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court declares that they are free, and that was the right thing to do. And that became, by the way, that chapter in history became a shining light in our own history that impacted the freedom of slaves, and of course we had to go through a horrible civil war in order to accomplish that, and we're still working for freedom and justice and equality for everyone. But in that moment, the ancestors shone a light. And in this moment in history, David's kingdom, even though David was far from perfect, as we'll find out next week, there's a light that shines forward into history. And all of us want to think that things are getting better and better because we're working for things to get better and better. That doesn't mean we need to erase the past. We need to learn from the past. And there are great lights in the past. This is one moment. God's word is a light that shines forward into history and into our society. And so the importance there for us also, not just David, to stand for what is right and for what is just. In whatever way we can, whether it's giving a glass of water to somebody, whether it is standing for what is right in school or in our society or what have you, or just working the best we can to reach out and to truly treat people as neighbors, to love and serve God and to love and serve neighbor. How are we doing today? It's easy to point the finger at David and his shortcomings because he does have some significant ones, but it's here in God's word so that you and I will take it seriously too. This becomes a light that is quoted as Jesus opens the door to the future kingdom, and we look forward to heaven, God's ultimate kingdom. Where are you? Jesus always opened the door first for the last, the lonely, the least, the marginalized. Jesus stood out and reached out to those who were the last, the lonely, and the least. Where are we today as individuals, as families, and also as a family of faith, locally and globally? And it's okay if we disagree about how we get there, but we ought to talk about it. We ought to stand for it. In closing, I just want to think about this for a moment, because so often when we think about heaven, we think about the then and beyond rather than the here and now. But the truth is, you and I, each and every day, we have an opportunity to bring a little bit of heaven to earth, whether it's here in church, heavenly singing, or listening to God's word, but also how we live out our world. And sometimes you and I can do some little thing that brings a little piece of heaven right to earth. And so what can you do this week to do that? And just to prove that in some sense, what did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom is where his will is done in the here and now. There will be a moment when we gather around a great homecoming table and celebrate being together and being present with God. But God's kingdom is where God's will is done here and now. And with the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength of one another, you and I can also work for what is just and what is right. And if we do that, we can do what Jesus challenged us to do. He said, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In that same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I want to close with one last story, and it's a story that I like so much. The story is of a rabbi back in the olden days who was much beloved by his students, and he was getting up in years and frail. He lived in a little cabin out in the woods. And so these students who loved this rabbi decided they wanted to do something special for the rabbi. And so they went out into the woods and they found the rabbi and said, listen, rabbi, you have impacted our lives in such an incredible way. We want to do something special for you. So we want to know what makes you happy. And the rabbi said, do you know what makes me sad? And the student said, no, you don't understand. We want to know what makes you happy. And the rabbi said, do you know what makes me sad? And they said, well, you just, listen, we want to do something special for you. We want to know you better. And so we want to know what makes you happy. And the rabbi looked at them and said, unless you know what makes me sad and brings tears to my eyes, you cannot know me. And I think that's true. The question for us today is, what brings tears to the eyes of God? What makes God sad? I think when things aren't right in the world, when things aren't just in the world, it brings tears to the eyes of God. And I think in this moment in David's kingdom, it shines a light to remind us of what is possible. We hopefully are working in our families, in our schools, in our community, in our country, and around our world for what is right and what is just. And we cannot do it all alone, but all of us can do something by being a candle in the night and standing for what is right and standing for what is true and being, as Jesus challenged us to be, a city on a hill, a light in the night. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this moment in David's kingdom, when there was right and there was justice for all, it reminds us that that is the goal of every place on earth as well as heaven. So Lord, as we do seek justice, do kindness, and walk humbly with you, we ask you to be people that do the right thing and to stand for justice and to walk humbly with you. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen.